Tanzina Vega back with you on The Takeaway. And, you know, a lot of our gun violence segments start with the phrase, in the wake of. And honestly, sadly, it feels like we're constantly in the wake of some kind of shooting from our streets to our classrooms. And this week, we've been exploring how parents are approaching having the gun talk with their kids. And you, our listeners, had a lot to say.
My name's Haley. I'm calling from Lakeland, Florida. I have a 7-year-old in first grade, and he initiates the talk with me because he goes through the drills, and he has been doing this since he started school. So it's very disconcerting, a bit of a loss of what to do and how to help him feel safe in school.
My name is Amanda. I'm calling from Suffolk County, New York. I spoke to my 5-year-old about guns and about the drills going on at his school that, you know, bad people had come into schools and, you know, shot at people, and people got very hurt. So about 2 weeks later, he told another student in the playground that he was going to bring in a gun and shoot them. And I don't believe he knows anything about what he's saying or the implications of it.
But Chris and Nicole Aronson are having a very different conversation about guns in their house. Chris and Nicole live in Harris, Minnesota, population 1,000, about an hour's drive north of Minneapolis. They run an ammunitions making business, JC Arms and Ammunition. They have 2 children, a 7-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. And Chris starts us off with what the gun talk sounds like in their house.
Nicole and I both left our careers approximately 4.5 years ago, and we started a manufacturing company that is related to the firearms industry. So for us, the topic has been something that's in the back of our mind of when do we introduce our young children to this. And for us, the most important thing was when they started to show an interest in what mom and dad's interests were and what we did, then we needed to have that conversation. And to be perfectly fair, when our son turned 5 and he started to have more interactions with his friends from preschool and kindergarten, where there were play dates, where they would be at other people's homes, we didn't exactly know what other families' gun practices were or what their gun storage and safety methods were. So for us, it was very important to have that conversation with our son to make sure that if he's at a friend's house and a friend has access to a firearm, that he knew that that was wrong and that a child or children shouldn't be touching, you know, a firearm. So that's kind of how it started in our house.
And what type of relationship do both of you want your kids to have with guns as they grow up?
Yeah, so the relationship I want my children to have with firearms is a relationship that they're comfortable with. So if at any point in time, who my son is 7 now, he started shooting a rifle, 22 rifle at 5, and at 6 he started shooting a 22 pistol. And if he's comfortable with it and he expresses interest in it and he can follow the instructions and participate in it safely, you know, we'll continue to foster that relationship with the firearm. If at any point in time our son becomes uncomfortable with the firearm, or, you know, he just realizes that it's something that's not for him, then we're just going to emphasize that we support his decision to, you know, not show interest in this and not participate in it. However, we still want him to be very aware that, you know, we live in America. We live in a gun culture country, and, you know, irregardless of what people think, I mean, it's not going to change.
Nicole, did you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I just wanted to add that I grew up in a household that did not have firearms present. My father was a veteran, but chose, as he got out of the military, to not own firearms for whatever the reason. I've never asked him why. So in comparison to Chris's upbringing, we come from very different family backgrounds. And now that I am very familiar with firearms, and, you know, conceal carry every day, I wish I would have learned respect for firearms at a much younger age. The very first time that I ever fired a firearm was as an adult. And I am really taking that to heart when I am raising my own children, because like Chris said, we live in a very, gun culture society. And at some point in time, unfortunately, our children are going to come across more than likely a dangerous situation where they need to know the dangers. They need to also respect that firearm and know what they're capable of.
And in addition to the gun safety talk, which obviously is important for preventing injuries and other things from happening, have you all talked to the kids about the school shootings or about suicide or about all these other heavier topics that come up when we talk about guns in the United States?
Well, our youngest is 3.5, so the conversation hasn't been raised a whole lot with her because she's too young to really comprehend it. However, she is very aware that her parents both conceal carry a firearm on them every single day, and she knows not to touch it. Our 7.5-year-old, on the other hand, he is in first grade, sees the news, he hears the radio, he's a very intelligent young boy, and he can comprehend that kind of thing when he hears it. So we have had conversations with him because he has asked and he's been curious, and he knows that if he sees something that isn't right at school, that he needs to go to an adult or his teacher immediately.
And when you say see something that isn't right, or do you mean a student that might be of concern or a firearm or what exactly?
So, you know, something that's very important for us is even though you're 7.5 years old, you know, you're a first grader and you have friends and you have a responsibility to treat your friends well and to just be a good person. So when we're teaching Evan, our son, how to value relationships and how to respect his friends. And you know, that kid that's not always picked to play in the sports and the kid who's kind of left out to the side. Like sometimes we need to, you know, open our hearts up and just be kind to that person. Sometimes a simple hello, you know, can prevent somebody from, you know, being bullied or, you know, falling into depression and contemplating suicide or contemplating hurting somebody else. So when we have these gun conversations with our children and we're talking about friendship and guns and seeing something that raises an eyebrow at school, we tie it into just being that human, be kind, you know, be open to people, be gentle, reach out to that kid that doesn't seem like he has that friend. You know, you don't have to be his friend, but sometimes just say hi to that kid.
Does your Chris, I'm just curious, and Nicole, I'm wondering, as you're talking about compassion, is Evan affected by any of the school shootings? Does he fear what could happen going to school?
Evan and I have had the conversation as well as with Nicole, and Evan has brought up that, you know, it's scary that somebody can do that, but, you know, he understands that statistically, you know, these things are few and far between, even though how horrific they are. So he asked, well, you know, if we took all the guns away, don't you think this would happen still? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, there's other ways to hurt people. And, you know, so it's like, wow, you're 7.5 years old and you understand, you know, if somebody's going to do something bad, they're going to find a way to do something bad.
And in terms of, I mean, we know that it's not just guns that are creating this scenario, particularly when it comes to school shootings. We're going to be talking about this a lot on the show in the upcoming days. They're largely young men who are committing these shootings, and they've either had access to be able to buy guns or they've gotten guns from their homes. Is that an issue of American culture? Is it an issue of lack of parental guidance, or is it something deeper?
I think a lot of it starts with parenting. And quite frankly, children under the age of 18 in the household should not have access to the firearm. They shouldn't know codes, the safes. All firearms should be, you know, in personal safes and locked. There really shouldn't be, you know, anyone under 18 that should have access to any of their parents' weapons without parental supervision.
I agree with Nicole. I mean, you know, I unequivocally support the Second Amendment. I served my country over a 22-year period, both with the military and in the human intelligence sector on the federal side. And I believe that, you know, this is our fundamental right as a U.S. citizen. However, I really do think that there's a lack of accountability for gun storage. If somehow your child under the age of 18 gets unsupervised access to your firearms, you should be held accountable by the court system. You know, we hear it, you know, a dozen times a year on the news. Those parents should be prosecuted. There's no reason whatsoever that a child should have access to a firearm unsupervised and at home. But then if you look at Parkland, you look at Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, you know, is a prime example. That child was so intent on committing that crime that he murdered his mother, and then he broke into the family safe to access those firearms. He committed multiple crimes before he did that. Parkland, you know, 25 plus times, local law enforcement had to interact with this kid in regards to some sort of mental health behavior and wellness checks by, you know, called in by family and, you know, adults that were in charge of supervising him. That kid down in Parkland should have never had access to that firearm.
Chris and Nicole, we've been hearing from parents all week, and we've been talking to them about this really difficult topic. And I want to play you both a cut from an interview that I did with a father. His name is David Kotke, and he's the father of a 7-year-old child in Colorado. And here's what he had to tell us.
Gun culture in America has pretty much just gotten out of control. It's a braggadocious type thing where people like to brag about their guns. They like to put stickers on their cars with assault rifles and NRA. And, you know, I think it's just an utter lack of respect for life. And, you know, people value their guns and their rights to own any kind of weapon they want over human life.
Would either of you care to comment on that?
Well, I think that, you know, there's certain aspects of the gun culture that are a little bit braggadocious. Gun owners are proud people. You know, they, from our experience, you know, a lot of gun owners, you know, interpret the Constitution as we do, and they understand the sacrifice that it's taken, you know, to bring America to the point that it's at. But the thing is right now is the NRA is a privately funded entity paid for by the donations of people who want to protect their gun rights. I'm an NRA life member. My wife is an NRA life member. Our company is an NRA, you know, business partnership. I don't necessarily believe in everything that the NRA stands for. I think the NRA needs to make some moves. I think that the change in leadership at the NRA is slowly starting to happen, and we're going to see, you know, some really good things come out of the NRA, not just for gun owners, but for all Americans. And then, you know, we keep hearing the word assault rifle perpetuated in all facets of media. I'll listen to Fox News. I'll listen to NPR. I'll listen to a little bit of, you know, CNN. It's almost like we live in a different universe when you take those three entities and you compare the topics and then the way that guns are spoken about. When we're not willing to properly discuss what these inanimate objects are and the responsibility in owning them, if we just want to put these big labels out there, tell people that NRA, you know, members have blood on their hands. They celebrate, you know, when children are shot. They, you know, gun industry companies, you know, enjoy mass shootings because they make profits. We've been in this industry for nearly 5 years. I don't know a single NRA member who's ever been nothing but sad by any shooting. And I just don't know any industry companies that take solace in the fact that somebody got hurt and now they're going to profit. I mean, you know, the biggest thing I think is we need to check our emotions, and we all need to come to the table and we need to have rational conversations.
Chris and Nicole Aronson are husband and wife and founders and owners of JC Arms and Ammunitions in Minnesota. Chris and Nicole, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.